and has seen tremendous revival, the hand of God. You know, let me just tell you one little testimony. There are tremendous, beautiful buildings that were available, and Pastor Greg was in contact with a woman who worked with the leases and so on, and she was offered double what they had agreed on for Connection Point Church to have the lease for the building. She turned that offer down because she said, "I like Pastor Greg. I want Pastor Greg to use the building." Praise God. That's God's favor. That's God's blessing. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you, Brother Greg.
She liked my wife. That's she really loved Melinda. And she's like, "And your name is?" Praise God. If you have your Bibles, go with me. Genesis, why don't we go 41? And Psalm, actually, I'll just go to Psalm 105. You don't have to turn there. You can find Genesis 41, verse 16. Bishop Blackshear, I sure love and appreciate you and your wife. And the impact that you have had in my family's life is immeasurable. And sure do miss the motorhome days. We used to be very spoiled having the Blackshear stop by once a year, basically, and spend a little bit of time with us, and it was such a high honor to have them at our house, and man, we sure love and miss those moments, miss those times. And you know, when you get to be on the verge of 47 like I am, you start having all kinds of regrets, and you cannot spend enough time with the people that matter. And it's an amazing thing how many hours I wish I could have back. But I'm very, very thankful for the times, the moments, the impartations that you have no idea whether what happened, all the extent of glory that came in your life, whatever. But God has blessed all of us with so many people around us that are so highly favored of God and so highly anointed of God. And it's an immeasurable connection, and it's some kind of an impartation. You just cannot hug. You greet each other with a holy kiss in the New Testament, and today we hug. But you can't hug somebody and not impart something from you to them and receive something from them to you. And you look at every one of the people in the body of Christ. It's the same body of Christ. It's the same Christ that anybody's got on planet Earth. Whatever calling they have, it's not any greater anointing. It's the same Christ. And you can receive it from a 4-year-old Gene that's received the baptism of the Holy Ghost as much as you can receive it from a 90-year-old person been living for God for 70 years. Same Holy Ghost. There is no junior Holy Ghost. There is no partial Holy Ghost. There is no 2.0, 3.0. It's the same Christ. And so we look around the room and we just see Christ everywhere. Praise God. And I'm thankful for my family, the impact of this church, everyone that we love so dearly, and the many things that we could say about so many people. I'm going to read Psalm 105 as you're at Genesis 41. Verse 16 says, "He called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, a slave." Notice this part. "Whose feet they hurt with fetters," in the R.D. Treese version of this next part, "he was laid in iron." The word is soul, and it's literally his soul in irons. "Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him, the word of the Lord purified him, the king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free." So we got Genesis 41 and 16. This is Pharaoh needing an interpretation of a dream that's disturbed him. Nobody can interpret it. He hears about Joseph, pulls Joseph out of prison. He says, verse 15 actually says, "I've heard say of thee that you can understand a dream, to interpret it. Joseph answered Pharaoh, the king of the world at this time, saying, "It's not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." Aren't you thankful for a God who has got a message of peace? What a difference that makes. What a difference that makes. You go ahead and be seated. Let the dry land appear. The Bible says in Genesis 1, and it was so. You look around Alaska, that's what he said and that's what he meant. Let the dry land appear, and it was so. So he meant that. He didn't say that, but he meant that. Everything on our planet, everything beautiful, everything unique, North Pole, everything that's, if there is something pretty in Spokane, everything on our planet, whatever desert, whatever tropical, whatever environment that you can imagine, Glacier Bay, Southeast Alaska, let the dry land appear. And that's what he meant. He didn't say that, but that's what he meant. I want you to know that we can never, ever say that we can gauge the potency of God's word. Because he meant all this, but all he said in Genesis 1 and verse number 9 is, let the dry land appear. That's it. No mountains. He didn't just say valleys. He didn't say, no, let the dry land appear. And he meant all of that. Can you imagine the same Creator God putting a word in the mouth of a preacher? It's another world that's created. The same God who created the planet by speaking is creating a new world by speaking, by preaching. But this is much greater than the old world. It's eternal. It's a world that is far superior to this world. It's actually a world that Paul said was before this one. This new covenant kingdom that we are part of, that is brought into existence by preaching, is no less powerful than let the dry land appear and Mount McKinley. But then you've got a valley. Then you've got Grand Canyon. All of it just in those little words. Can you imagine the power of the preached word of God being limited to God doing one thing in one heart with one word? Or could the same word meet every single need in this building all at the same time? Because the Lord, when he says peace, he doesn't mean just peace according to my description. It's going to be according to his meaning and his interpretation, and the potency will never be in my ability to explain it. It's always going to be in my ability to believe it. And it's through faith that we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. We can't even understand it without faith. Through faith, we understand it. Through faith, we understand it. It's the same with this New Testament creation. Everything's a product of God's word. And so when you think about what the Bible, the scripture, what it means, when you think about salvation, the two words that you're going to have in the New Testament, they just don't mean salvation according to how perhaps you might think, now I'm ready for heaven. But it's so much deeper than that. It means everything. It means holy, holy, with a W to an H. You are holy, made holy. That means his word is powerful enough to heal you enough to where you have no issues in your heart and you've got no problems in your emotions and your head's fine and you're full of joy and you're full of peace and you're living in righteousness, because that's what he promised us. Nothing less than that. He said the kingdom of God is in righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. But it's everything. It's from the top to the bottom. It's every part of your life is touched by salvation. And so it's got to drive somebody who's got a calling on their life crazy. When you read about, in Genesis especially, it's broken up. It's organized literally by generations. And there's 10 different. It's called Toldot in the Hebrew. But it's generations of. It starts in Genesis 2:4, the generations of the heavens and the earth. And you're going to move through the generations of Cain, then Adam, then Noah, and on it goes. And the last of these generations is in chapter 37, talking about Jacob. And it says, these are the generations of Jacob, Joseph. Think about that. These are the generations of Jacob, Joseph. It's given us the genealogy of this man. But instead of it being a big list of begats, it starts with Joseph. And it ends with Joseph. And so this man, this 17-year-old that we're introduced to out of nowhere, has got a calling on his life that is unexplainable. We don't know what in the world's up with the robe, and we don't know what in the world's up with the calling that God's got on his life, but obviously he is the generations of Jacob. He is and ultimately going to be the birthright carrier according to 1 Chronicles chapter 5. But the Bible said his first job is he reports his brother's evil deeds. And that's not a tattletale, that's a calling. His dad sent him, later on in verse 14, sent him to check on the welfare of his brothers and then on the welfare of the sheep and bring word back again. But not his word, his brother's word. Are you doing all right? What should I tell dad? He's going to bring that back. And so he only is able to report evil deeds, and he's only able to report back to his father the welfare of his brothers, the word peace. It's the same word as shalom, same word as verse 16 that we read, peace, the welfare of his brothers. And then he's a dreamer. But the problem is the dreams don't have any words in the dreams. Usually the dreams are going to have a vision of God. God's not in it, according to how he tells the story. And then also there's no voice in the dreams. It's just a picture he describes to his brothers. He's got no interpretation. He doesn't know meaning. They add to it interpretation. He never does. They comment about it. He never does. They bring some conclusions to it, but he never does. You're talking about somebody that in this moment in his life, he is able to report. He is not able to do anything else. And then the Bible tells us here he is in Egypt. Ultimately, he's in prison. And there in prison, there's a couple of a baker and a butler that have a dream. Each one of them have a dream the same night. They're disturbed. He comes around them. He says, what's wrong with you? And they tell him, we dreamed and there's no interpreter here. And he says, doesn't all interpretation belong to God? Think about that. If you had that category in your life, all interpretation belongs to God. Before you derive meaning from what happened to you or what you're feeling or the circumstances of your life, before you call it what you think that it is, what if we just stopped and said, wait a minute, all interpretation belongs to God, not just in the Bible, but in the Spirit. Not just in the spirit, but in what's going on in your life right now and why that person walked past you. And why that person didn't shake your hand and why this is going on here. Why, maybe we stop and just say, all interpretation belongs to God. How about we let God tell us what it is? How about we let God describe to us what's going on in our, instead of me jumping to conclusions, because my conclusions are always wrong. My conclusions are never, it's going to be awesome. And so here, they give, Joseph says, interpretation belongs to God, but this message isn't from God. And you know this message is not from God because all Joseph does is interpret it. So one of them did wrong. to Pharaoh, and they're in jail, and they're sorting out who it was, so they're both in jail, and they had the dream, and the interpretation is the third day, the butler, you're coming up out, and you're going to be restored like you were. Baker, you are going to be hung. That's how you know it's not a message from God. Because you're still in this place in your life. And we know Joseph is a man right here sent from God. We know that this man here, the Bible tells us there's something going on in him that there's getting ready to be what's called the time his word came. We know ultimately Joseph's going to be the savior of the world according to the identity given to him by the Egyptian king. But at this moment, all he can do is tell somebody in 3 days you die. Obviously, he was the one that did wrong. Obviously, he's the one that the Bible said that they're thrown in jail to sort out which one you did wrong. Apparently, it doesn't really say why they're in jail or if they're both guilty or what. We just know that here's your sentence. Can you imagine that? That's so much different between how God speaks to us. The good news of peace is so much different than that kind of a message given by the government of Egypt or the dreams of Egypt or whatever's going on here where God can interpret it, but it's not from God. This is not his revelation, and this is not his work. Why? This is not his people. His covenant people, he's begun to do a work in one family. And the covenant God, Lord, is with Joseph in Egypt. The Lord is with Joseph. The Lord is with Joseph. None of the other patriarchs had that. He's the only one. And he's in Egypt. And the covenant, Jehovah's with Joseph. Jehovah is with Joseph. Jehovah gives him favor. Jehovah gives him mercy. All these things that are going on in his life right now. But there's one massive thing that has yet to change. And that is, I do not have the power to change anybody's destiny. Tell me that's not terrible when you can look at somebody and tell them in 3 days you're going to die and I can't do anything about it. I can't deliver you. I can't pray for you. There won't be a restoration for you. There's nothing worse than that sentence that's handed down, no chance for change. Oh, that's not the gospel that I know. That's not the good news of peace that we know. No, sir. The Bible said Joseph delivers that word, but it has nothing at all to do with God. It has everything to do with what they have done. So you're not getting upgraded from butler to higher than butler. You're just getting restored back to butler. And the baker, you obviously tried to poison Pharaoh or something. Now you're going to die. The Bible tells us all the while what's going on here is you've got somebody whose feet, the Bible said, are in fetters. But the scripture said his soul is in irons. It's easy, isn't it, to see somebody delivered in the physical out of jail? We've seen that. Somebody gets set free. The butler got set free. But there's only one who can set your soul free. There's only one kind of a message that can bring your soul out of prison. It's one thing to get your body out of prison and you can say, I'm out of jail, I'm free, I'm no longer a slave, I'm Joseph. But it's a whole other thing when you know for a fact my soul has been delivered. My soul has been set free. I want somebody to understand that the purpose of God in our lives is complete and total holiness. That means all of you in his hands. All of you for him. So that means he doesn't just want us to have salvation as a promise. No, he doesn't want us to be crying ourselves to sleep because we're lonely or we're addicted to this or we're stuck on that. He doesn't want our heart broken, our mind shot, us drugged out on every kind of medication just so we can sleep at night. And that's not salvation to God. What God is looking to do, he is looking to wholly sanctify you, to renew your mind and to renew your heart. When's the last time you had joy for no reason? When's the last time you had peace that made no sense? I want you to know the kingdom of God is greater than what we're living. Praise God. And so here we are. There's a word getting ready to deliver his soul from irons. That's a mighty God right there. Because there is no explanation why Joseph goes after nobody. Why don't you go after Potiphar? Why don't you put Potiphar's wife in jail? When you become head of the world, why don't you start getting some retribution? Because my soul's free. That's what bound people do. Bound people get revenge. I can forgive because my soul's been made free. I don't know about you. I want to be able to walk around the camp meeting and have nobody that I can't be around because my soul's free. I want to be free in my mind, my heart. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, you can't put a price on that kind of freedom. That kind of freedom where you could do whatever you want to do to me and you can't get in me because I'm covered by the glory of God's healing. Peace. Peace. Praise God. You can't explain that. Hey, wasn't you? Was not you? How in the world do you get that kind of testimony? We know it was them. Don't lie about it, Joseph. He's not lying. Somebody took over his story. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if there was nobody powerful enough to make you a slave? You didn't sell me for 20 pieces of silver. God sent me. You didn't send. No, God sent me. Let me tell you again, it was not you. God sent me before you. I want somebody to recognize that God wants to take over your story to where he's greater than your father. He's greater than whoever hurt you. He's greater than whoever abused you. My God wants to be king of your life, and that means nobody can touch you like he touches you. Nobody can make you whole like he makes you whole. It's unexplainable. How in the world do you not come back on them? Talking about being sold for 20 pieces of silver. But he said, you know what, you guys? You guys meant evil. Problem is, it doesn't matter what you meant. It's his meaning, which is greater than your meaning. So if you mean evil towards me, and God means good, evil's got no chance. If you mean evil against me, and God means good, that means I can go to the butcher's house named Potiphar, and the Lord will be with me, and the Lord will bless me, and the Lord will prosper me. That means I'll go to jail, and I won't be a prisoner. I'm going to be a leader in the prison, because the Lord is with me. Is there anyone greater than L-O-R-D in your life? What Pharaoh can match that? What Potiphar can match that? What brother can match that? I'm covered by the glory of Jesus Christ. He's the one that tells me who I am. You tell me I'm worth nothing? He paid everything for me. He bought me. He saw I was valuable enough to die to purchase me. I don't care what you say. My value is God's meaning's the only meaning that matters. God, so his soul's free. And his soul got made free when the word came. And the word is a message of peace. And it's so much different than I'm sorry you're going to die. It's so much different than here's what I dreamed with no message in it. It's so much different. Then here's what they did wrong and here's what they said. It's so powerful that the Bible tells us there's one place on planet Earth that has favor. Think about that. There's only one place on planet Earth that has favor, but the whole world has famine. Only Egypt had 7 years of favor, but the whole world had famine. And 20% of God's favor was enough to feed the entire planet for 7 years of famine. Just 20% a year, put it aside. And it was that store in the cities that fed the entire planet. Nobody else had favor but Egypt. But they don't know it without a revelation from God. They don't know we did nothing to do this. Hey, man, we won't take credit for the bad stuff, but, man, you better know the reason why it's going good is because I made a smart investment. What are you doing in Egypt to get these crops? You're doing nothing but living in the favor of the Almighty God. You're doing nothing but coming under the blessing of the will of God over you. He decided to bless you like that. That's why you're bringing forth a harvest. I want you to know it doesn't matter where you are, who you are, doesn't matter how good a planter you are. When God decided that you were going to feed the world with 20% a year, you better just get ready for the favor of God to come upon you, whether you've got the know-how or not. Do you know how to pray? It does not matter. Do you know how to believe? Can you grab a hold of God's word? God's the one that called me to favor. Hey, I didn't make up. I didn't. I want you to know I didn't wake up one day and just say, I'm blessed in spiritual. I'm blessed in heavenly places. I've got all spiritual blessing. All spiritual blessing in heavenly places. What did you do to get it? Nothing. I got it for free. Oh, I got it for free. All it takes is faith for me because he's the one that said it. I refuse to put the meaning on what God is defining. What did John say? If anyone's got the seed of Jesus Christ in you, you won't sin. We're like, yeah, but no yeah buts. If there's a yeah but in there, you can preach it, but if there isn't, we need to turn that off. Because I think God thinks he's awesome enough where he can renovate a life, where he can transform you. Praise God. Hey, man, I want you to know there is no 12-step program in the Scriptures. There is no dry-out program in the Scriptures. Well, I'll tell you what there is. There's a name that's above every name. And so if you can name a drug, it's under the name of Jesus Christ. That's the power of God's word for your life. You can be made free now. So he comes, and he says, it's not in me. God's going to give you an answer of shalom. It's an oracle, is literally what answer means. An oracle of God. And so he tells Pharaoh, he says that the worst of the worst of the worst is coming. And God has let you know what he is going to do. Now, obviously, there's a lot of voices out there saying what they're going to do. You hear that in one ear, you put it out the other ear. Because it's what God said he's going to do. It's what God is doing. It is not what is promised by any other worldly power. There is no Antichrist that can hang with Jesus Christ. There's no, the Bible said for every single one of us, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the entire world system. All the world system, one believer, Taylor Glover, greater is he who is in. What if we really believe that? You talk about never being intimidated. You talk about, I know God is going to answer this prayer. I know God is going to be true to his word. I don't got time to preach the message. I want to jump to Genesis 45, when he reveals himself to his brothers. They never had famine. They never paid one thing for corn. Not once. What was the answer? Fear not. It was your God who put treasure in your sacks. Peace. That's Genesis 43. It was your God. That's an Egyptian saying that. It was your God who put treasure in your sacks. 2 years, for 2 years, they've been preaching the false gospel of we are in trouble and we are going to die. This is a mistake. All the while, God put treasure in your sacks. What if we did give all interpretation to God? What if we didn't start summarizing what will happen, what could happen, and we just said, all right, God, what's going on here? I do not believe I know what your word means and what your word is doing in me. Can you imagine 2 wasted years? Because it was God who put it back in your sacks. They're like, and they kick into party mode. They get married with Joseph. The Bible says he reveals himself. Powerful message of what God's doing. He says, all right, 22 years. For 22 years, his dad has been weeping over a son that he falsely assumed was dead. With all of the pertinent information, surely he has torn a beast. That coat of many colors covered in blood. Surely he's torn a beast. Doesn't even go look for him. It's over. He's been mourning for 22 years of regrets. It's a long time to be living in regret. 22 years of sackcloth. 22 years of everything going wrong. And the Bible said Joseph tells his brothers, go tell my father. All my glory. Tell him God has made me Lord of all of Egypt. We're talking some amazing things. He's telling them to go tell his father. And they get there with the message. You couldn't get better news. Can you imagine better news? Dad, Joseph is alive. But he's not just alive. He is Lord of Egypt. Now, doesn't that sound a little bit more like your God? Then surely he's torn a beast. My God called son couldn't even be protected from wild animals. Versus dad, Joseph is alive. But not just alive. He's Lord of all of Egypt. Not just that. He's bringing us to him. And we are going to live with him for the 5 years remaining in famine. That's what Revelation does. The Bible said he tells them in Genesis 45, he tells them there's 5 years that are remaining. There's not going to be either earing or harvest. Why do you say that, Joseph? Because God said 7 years of famine. And when you've got a revelation, it's not going to work. Why would you work it? If you didn't know that, you would think it was your fault. But God turned off, broke the whole staff of bread. Broke his creative authority over the land. All bread's broken for 7 years. So why would you plow? That's what you call dead works. And once you've got a revelation of what he's already done, and you've just got to receive. It's time for us to have no more dead works. And a lot of faith toward God. No more dead prayers. It's on him, not you. No more dead worship. It's not on your shoulders to create an atmosphere. We are never not in an atmosphere. We are never not filled with the Holy Ghost. We are never not walking in the glory of God. Baptized in the body of Christ. That's my atmosphere. That's my atmosphere. Joseph is alive. The Bible said Jacob's heart was numb. Literally, it says it's, the word fainted, but it's numb. Like your hand got cold, that kind of numb. Why wouldn't it be like that? 22 years. That's a whole lot of mourning. And it's not that easy to have somebody show up at a camp meeting and trigger you and say, now. All you've got to do is make a disciple. And you're like, whoa. Why? Because 22 years is a long time to have already given up, already accepted, already been living like my son is dead. And all of a sudden my boys come back and say, nope. Everything you've been believing is, pretty hard to trigger that heart. But the same word who frees souls is getting ready to free this heart. And when I say free that heart, make it brand new, like you had never prayed for revival before in your life. Like you had never said, all right, this is the year, this is the month, this is our hour. Like you had never ever tried and failed, but you get a brand new faith and you say, now is my time. I want you to know God works in his own time. God works in his own time. 22 years, that's harsh. But now, the Bible said his heart's numb. What do? Keep telling. They keep telling. They keep telling. That you tell them all the words of Joseph. It's all the good news. I'm not leaving. I'm not going to let him stay with a cold heart. And not believing after he's come this far, 130 years old. Few and evil have been the days of his sojourn. And he's only just begun to walk in faith. He's only just begun. Paul, actually in Hebrews 11, says his greatest act of faith is one of his last acts on earth. Your greatest days aren't behind you. I don't care how old you are. You need to keep on hearing. It's now. The good news is God's glory is being loosed on the peninsula like you have never seen it before. Now your family. Now your children. Yes. Yes. I want you to know we got a word that gets hearts out of jail. It's a word that gets hearts out of prison. Yeah. Amen. Yes, yes, yes. Praise God, praise God. Amen. That's why you don't see the prodigal mother anywhere. She's been running the whole time. Daddy just runs right at the end. But the prodigal mama's been running the whole time looking for her baby. Right? So here we go. The final thing I want to say. Verse 27, they keep on telling him. And he sees the wagons, which is 7 years of favor showing up. It's just, he's got 10 male donkeys, 10 female donkeys loaded with 7 years of favor. He's got wagons filled, and then it's for him. Isn't that amazing to think? I do not have to get there under my own power. What kind of a God are we talking about? What kind of a God are we talking about? We're talking about the God that can take a guy from a baptismal to a whole other part of the world. Like that.
Where'd he go?
That Ethiopian eunuch's going, I guess that's a God I just got baptized into. He'll take you and transport you whenever. I want you to know the God that we are worshiping today has no limits at all in your life. He's going to take you. It won't be your power. You don't got to be able to make it by your own strength. Well, it's a paradigm shift for,
for these individuals, because Jacob can't even see, Israel can't even see at the end. So he's lost his vision, and he's the first person in the Bible to be sick. And moreover, he's leaning on the top of his staff. He's so weak. And you know all he does right there, Brother Hyler, is he takes Joseph's kids from Joseph and replaces his own, Reuben and Simeon, in one prayer. These aren't your kids anymore, Joseph. You got the order wrong. It's not Manasseh, Ephraim. It's Ephraim, Manasseh. And sure enough, Ephraim, Manasseh, born in Egypt, are tribes of Israel, just like they were sons of Jacob. How did you do that? I was old enough to where all I could do was lean on a staff. But the Bible said God allowed me to see his seed. And so I just crossed my hand in faith. And boom, I took a destiny and I changed it like they had never been born in Egypt. I'm not going to let your idolater grandpa be the one who speaks a word over you. I'm not going to let your son-worshipping grandfather be who gives you your identity. I'm taking you from Egypt and I'm bringing you into the promised land. A prayer of faith. Hallelujah. My goodness. And so the Bible said the spirit, it's the heart, it's the soul of Joseph, the heart, then the spirit of Jacob revived. If you revive Jacob's spirit, guess who shows up? Israel said. Now here's what I want every one of us to say. It's enough. It literally means more, exceeding, beyond. Enough. I don't need more proof. I don't need another sermon. I don't need another miracle story to believe it. Somewhere along the line, we've got to start believing God's word is true. That's it. We've got to believe everything else is a liar. Even the facts are lying to me. Because the truth is, God healed you. The truth is, this is God's kingdom. This is his hour. This is his authority. This is his power. Could you stand with me, please? Praise God. He says it's enough. I'm convinced. Praise God. How many times you heard that? My brother did a fantastic job preaching at the camp. How many times you heard that though? If God wanted Simon Peter, because the Bible says Acts 17 that people, places, that's ordained of God. So where we are on earth, when we are, so we're like it. If God wanted Paul, he'd have us. I want you to know that he's got so much greater. Can you imagine a couple of thousand years beyond the book of Acts? The depth of revelation, the glory we're wading through on planet Earth and we don't even know. When Isaiah said, you know what? The whole earth is filled with his glory.
Yes.
And we don't know it, but we're wading through it. I've got to get all the way through glory so I can rely on myself for somebody to get healed. I want you to know, I know I've not received a gospel of peace when somebody tells me, I'm sick, can you pray for me? And I'm like, I know I've not received that gospel of peace. When God said, did I say you had to do something to get fed? Yeah, the Egyptians, they have to pay for it in their own country. but not my covenant people. My covenant people are going to eat for free. 70 are going to move to Egypt. They're going to eat there for free. Why? What did you do to earn it? I've been mourning for 22 years. And the brothers are like, we've been lying for 22 years. The Bible said they tried to comfort me. How evil is that? We're comforting our dad over the story we fabricated. That's another level of sinister. And God so delivered the soul of Joseph that when he saw them, he remembered the dreams. He didn't see them according to a bitter young boy. He saw them how God saw them. Can you imagine? And so this man, Jacob, whose spirit revives, all of a sudden Israel said, it's enough. Look at this declaration. Joseph, my son, is alive. Yeah. How do you know that? Like, how do you really know that? Did you see him yet? No. This is how Israel talks. See, Israel's a nation and a man. This is a man who can wrestle an angel all night long. This is a man who's got no limits. This is a man who you knock his hip out of socket, he still won't. I want you to know this is somebody right here that will lay hands on Pharaoh twice. Yeah. You've got to bring him in, though. He set his father in front of Pharaoh. And then he goes, boom, blessed him. And then when he left, verse 10, blessed him. That's when you know you got something greater than the world's God. When you can be set in front of the king of the world and you're like, you ain't ever felt something like this, I promise you. I got something you can't get in a palace. I've got something where ladders show up on the earth when I go to sleep. I've got angels that come and watch over my family. Joseph is alive. So what did you give up on? 22 years been mourning. And all of a sudden God's come to Sterling to tell you, you've been believing a lie. And all of a sudden the Israel in you goes, what are you going to say? I've been giving up on this for 22 years. We don't got a Joseph. We got something. We got something that we buried in our mind without evidence. We didn't have a body, but we buried him. We gave up on him and we quit living. Mourning and sacrifice. And 22 years later, instead of living in regret, we're having a revival. My spirit's having a revival. And it's being revived into a place like just as if he had never been gone in my mind. Just as if for 22 years I hadn't been mourning him. Joseph, my son is alive. What is it that you need to say today? What is it that you need to holler today? Because the Lord is telling you in the spirit right now, you gave up on it too early. I'm telling you, now's the time. And you need to stand up and you need to declare it. I don't know what it is for you, but I dare an Israel somewhere. I dare somebody who's given up on something 22 years. And you say, it's enough. It is enough. Joseph is alive. It is enough. Come on, I wish somebody'd lift up your mouth.
Here's what he's preaching about. Dead, believing dead for 22 years. I want you to know Sister Megan laid hands on Alexis Playle. Somebody had been backslidden for a long time, and she got refilled with the Holy Ghost at camp meeting. It may seem like they're dead, Brother Lummis. It may seem like they're gone, but God is going to bring them back to life. Your backslidden daughter, your backslidden son is going to come back to the Lord. You need to hear the Lord speaking it. They're alive. They're alive. They're alive. Hallelujah. And you need to receive it today. You need to believe it today. You need to trust God today. They're alive.
I wish you'd holler out something right now. I don't care what it is. What are you no longer having in your mind is over, buried, dead, gone. It's enough. I had Stan Gleason. I had Ken Gurley. I've had years and years and years of preaching. It's enough. The Bible tells me it's enough. Oh, your mind's the only mind that can't get delivered? No, it's enough. Oh, I don't think I'll ever get away from this depression. Really? It's enough. It's enough. I just got a chemical imbalance. Speak to that imbalance. God didn't quit healing minds. Let me tell you a story real quick as you're standing here. God, my eyes, you all remember that. You know, I was young when that happened. I didn't really know what kind of a healing had taken place until I went to Spokane. And I had an Assembly of God eye doctor who I told him my eye condition. He takes pictures of my eyes. And then he just shocked. He says, I don't think you understand the miracle that you God made me see. So he gets me a picture. And he says, this right here is your line of vision. And it is completely blotted out. I was expecting there to be a clear path. He said, there's no physical reason why you should be able to see. Think about every time I have a miracle. Because God's the only one making me see. He didn't clear the vision. It's not like I got the report, no tumor in the vision, in the x-ray. No, it looks horrible. There's no vision left but God. I want somebody to understand you do not need anything at all to change but God.
But God.
But God. But God. But God. But God. About an epidemic. It's men and women of God who are losing their minds, losing themselves in their minds. And I was thinking about that, and God reminded me in my eyes. I said, why, Lord, would you quit praying for somebody? Alzheimer's is too great. I hate to see them losing their mind. Somewhere along the line, you go, it's enough. Somewhere along the line, you just go, Satomara. You just start saying, I know something. My God's undefeated in every part of the human body, and there is nothing mental that my God cannot restore.
Right.
You want to talk about in your right mind? If you got a demoniac in his right mind in seconds, no, I'm not letting these pastors and these pastors' wives lose their mind. That's a greater miracle to me than seeing somebody rise up and walk, somebody's mind be restored to them. What is it for you? You gotta say it's enough. We truthfully didn't need another camp meeting. We didn't need another revival. We didn't need another sermon. We just needed it somewhere along the line. Go forget about it. It's enough. It's enough. 22 years I've been giving up on my church. It's enough. I say now, revivals in Spokane, revivals in wherever you are. What family member?
Thomas spoke to me a few weeks ago. Do you remember that, Thomas? I don't know if you're writing, journaling, or anything, but he spoke a word from the Lord to me. You remember that? He said, the children are coming. The kids have been coming to Sunday school, and that's okay. But I told you, Sawyer said, Mom, listen to that song. That's my favorite song. She said, well, listen to it. Well, then after that, they started coming and being here for church, right? This is the first camp meeting that they've been in camp meeting and feeling what they're feeling. And little Wyatt said to me the other day, I wish Journey'd been here.
Come on, believe it. Hallelujah. Don't believe the devil's lie that they're lost. Don't believe the devil's lie that they're gone. Don't believe the devil's lie that they can't be rescued. They can't be saved. Oh, no. My God can do the work. My God can bring salvation. My God can bring deliverance. My God can shine the light. Come on, let's worship. Come on.